All right, everybody, welcome to the Saturday Night Special. If you're wondering about that song, that's a Saturday Special Revisited by my friend Ed Aborn and my friend Todd Grubbs from the band Siren. And the reason why we did that is there's now a rule on Facebook Live and YouTube. And by the way, first of all, cheers, guys. Here's to you. Where you can't play other people's songs on a Facebook live stream now. So if you do that, they shut you down instantly. So we created our own song, our own original song. The guys did a great job, Ed and Todd. And unfortunately, that means there's no more sing-along here on the Saturday Night Special. So we can't get shut down. So kind of a dumb rule, but hopefully it goes away. And I think it's still in the infancy of it. Maybe we can still do a sing-along, but we're not going to do one this week. Just in case, because we don't want to get shut down, like I said. So thanks to Todd and Ed for that great theme song. And thanks to this week's sponsor, Wrestling with Joey Licious is the book right here by Joey Quesada and Christopher Lynn. Joey did his book, Start with a Dream, a few months ago. We gave away copies, and we're going to give copies of this too, Wrestling with Joey Licious. Joey's obviously a great rock and roll drummer, plays with the Eric Martin Band, and was in ZO2, and he's on Broadway. And now he has wrote this book about his wrestling character and his wrestling story that he wrote. So if you want a copy of Wrestling with Joey Licious, put up your Twitter address and say, you know, I want to have a copy of this, and give me your Twitter address, and we will contact you to get this book. So 5 free copies giving out tonight here. So there you go. And it's Jericho 30, as you can see. Last night, October 2nd, was my very first 30-year anniversary, my very first match, October 2nd, 1990, in Pinoca, Alberta versus Lance Storm. There's a great talk as Jericho where we did a watch-along of that. And it was really a lot of fun. So you might want to check that out, talking about our first match. And then also the next episode, we talked all about our second match, which wasn't as good as the first. And we did a watch along with that as well. So if you want to check out more, go to Talk is Jericho, and you'll find the links to watch the match. And I think you'll have a lot of fun. Totally Drew, morning, y'all, from Tokyo. Hey, Chris. Hey, man, very cool. I'm glad you're watching from Tokyo. We appreciate that. Okay, Twitter, there you go. Frank of the Myers. There's the first winner of the Wrestling with Joey. I'm going to take a picture of it so I don't forget. Wrestling with Joey Licious. And also, we got some big news here, too. I am putting out a new book based on this. I'll show it to you right now. This, I think I showed it to you before, but this actual documentation here. This is every match I've ever had. And I wrote them down, starting with match 1 all the way up to match 2,725, which will be this Wednesday on the Jericho 30 celebration. Dynamite will be Jericho and Hager versus Luther and Serpentico. So I'm putting out a book. It's called The Complete List of Jericho. Every single match I've ever had, top 10 lists of all my favorite opponents, my favorite matches, my favorite arenas, all that sort of stuff, pictures. Probably about 100 pictures that you've never seen before from my 30-year career. And once again, this is the first time anything like this has ever happened, because nobody, I think, has ever kept a documentation, a chronicle of every match they've ever had. So this Wednesday on AEW Dynamite, you're going to get all the information on where you can pre-order the book. Because of COVID, the book won't be available for a few more months. But if you pre-order it, you're going to get probably about a 90-minute audio, kind of a podcast of me choosing random matches that you guys gave me on Twitter and discussing those matches. I did the first half of it today. It was super fun. Really enjoyed it. And I think you guys are going to enjoy it too. Once again, it's called The Complete List of Jericho. And October 7th, it will be when you can find the information on where to pre-order it. But here's the cover right here. If you want to see that, it's very, very cool stuff. 30 years of smashes, matches, and hits. The Complete List of Jericho by Chris Jericho with Pete Fornatale, of course, my longtime collaborator, and Alex Marvez, who did a lot of behind-the-scenes work for this book. So The Complete List of Jericho, great cover there by Abdul Malik, my graphics guy. And I think that cover's killer. I love 30 years of smashes, matches, and hits. If you guys know anything about Kiss, you know that's one of their records, Smashes, Thrashes, and Hits. And you guys will enjoy this. I think it's going to be a great book. Kenneth Thalborough, Houston, Texas. He wants a copy of Wrestling with Joeylicious. So lots of cool stuff. Like I said, The Complete List of Jericho. And also, too, there's going to be an announcement this week on Dynamite, talking about people have been asking about when we can do thank you, Chad Smith. Wow, not the Chad Smith. I've got a lot of stuff going on, so I'm trying to remember everything about another release of A Little Bit of the Bubbly. We're going to tell you about that as well. Plus, we got a star studded show on Wednesday. Let me just say, it's going to be a really, really cool show. If you like the Saturday Night Special, you're going to like the Jericho 30, because I'm going to be shoved right down your fucking throats. But seriously, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So check that out. And here we go. Let's talk questions. And if you can keep the questions dealing with my entire career, once again, 30 years, The Complete List of Jericho. That's cool. That's so fucking cool, man. I mean, I don't want to toot my own horn, but I just think that looks great. And like I said, it's a book that you've never seen before because it's never been done before. No one has ever kept a list of every single match they've ever had. And I started doing this October 2nd, 1990. The piece of paper that I have in this book that I just showed you is the exact same piece of paper that I wrote down, you know, 30 years ago, where the match was, the date of it, who it was against, how much I got paid, my star rating for it, the crowd. And I just never stopped. And the reason why is because on my first day of wrestling school, Keith Hart was in the ring. He was the trainer who showed up the first day. And I asked him how many matches he had. And he said he didn't know and thought it was kind of a dumb question. And I thought, well, that's really weird, because if I want to know how many games Wayne Gretzky's played in, I can just go, look it up in a book. So if I want to know how many matches somebody's had, nobody keeps track of this stuff. He's like, of course not. So I thought, well, I'll do it. And I think a lot of people might have started and stopped it, but I actually did it and carried through 30 years, man, 2,725 matches. I mean, that's a shoot, too. A lot of people say, I've had 10,000 matches. I'm like, I don't think so, because, I wrestled some nights, some weeks in Mexico, I was doing 10 matches a week. So I think this is a pretty fair documentation of my entire career. All right, so let's start talking about that 30-year career. Clint Lahr, Jericho, what was your most painful match of the past 30 years? Wow. I think, obviously you had matches. I used to wrestle with this guy called Katao in WR and War in Japan, and he was a former Yokozuna, which if you think of Yokozuna, the wrestler, that's based on a real sumo champion, is it called a Yokozuna? And he was so stiff. So anytime you work with him, it's just like getting the shit kicked out of you. And he would kick you in the ribs. He was so big, too. He's probably, 6'8", 400 pounds. And he would just, his legs were just like this. Just, I remember just kicking me in the chest, in the corner, just like, fuck, man. So those were always painful. I think, like the thumbtack bump I took in the Ambrose Asylum match, that was painful, especially in the hands. Pulling those tacks out of the hands were... It was so rough, just not good at all. And, other than that, I mean, you have aches and pains in matches quite often, but that was, I think any match I had with Katao were probably pretty just freaking brutal. So there you go. Happy 30th, Jericho, Jessica Corbett. Hello, Jessica. Out of the 30 matches, what is your favorite one? That's hard to say because – I mean, I always say that the ladder match I had with Shawn Michaels in 2009, I think it was amazing. Maybe in 2008, I can't recall. Absolutely amazing match. Kind of ticked all the boxes for what I like about wrestling. But then, and the fact that the Shawn And I's feud was only supposed to be, you know, a 1 month thing that we ended up doing for 7 months. So that was great. But I like so many of my matches. I really love the Moxley match that we just had, where he won the title from me, the whole story we told there. It's all the story. The match I had with Cody, the match I had with Kenny at the Tokyo Dome was amazing. And that was actually the match that Tony Khan thought, like, holy smokes, like, I think I might be able to open my own wrestling company because it did such great business worldwide and all that sort of stuff. So those are all great matches. The match I just had this past week versus Isaiah Cassidy, I mean, not my favorite I've ever had in 30 years, but man, I thought that was a great match. I thought that worked out really well, ticked all the boxes once again. So I just keep going forward. You know, I just keep trying to have great matches as much as I can and continue to work at the highest of levels. And I think that I think you guys can agree that I've been doing that. And I think too, yeah, that's him, Dan, Koji Kitao. Ooh, what a stiff piece of shit. I think he's passed away, so I shouldn't speak ill of the dead, but man, was he stiff. All right, Paula. Hello, Chris from Spain. I know Paula. She came to the Fozzy show. Congrats on those 30 years. Do you have a favorite country to wrestle? Also, this Tuesday is my 21st birthday. Can I get a happy birthday, please? Happy birthday, Paula. First and foremost, thank you for watching from Spain. It's probably 2 or 3 in the morning there. Favorite country to wrestle? I mean, obviously the States. I think Japan is probably my second favorite. Canada, I love. Australia, I really enjoy. I haven't spent a lot of time in Spain wrestling. I know I have wrestled there, but I love playing Fozzy shows in Spain. That's a great country for rock and roll, if you're getting for Fozzy. But I think probably my second home in wrestling, if you're talking about going into another country, would be Japan. Really enjoyed working there, and hopefully I'll get a chance to go back soon. Any memories of wrestling Hogan? Joseph Zay, I love wrestling with Hulk. It was great, too, because when I first started wrestling with him, obviously you have this intimidation factor because he's Hulk Hogan. I was a huge fan of his. And then when we worked a few times, I think that actually the last great match Hogan ever had was against me on SmackDown in Pittsburgh, maybe it was. And he really trusted me. We worked a bunch of house shows together, and he would show up, always had some beer with him. Hey, brother, what you doing? You know, you got me tonight? You can take care of me tonight? I'm like, yeah, Hulk, I got you. And he would let me put together the whole match. And then I had him taking the lion salt and hit the ropes for the leg drop and sweeping his leg and putting him into the walls instead. And he would even give me a second rope superplex, you know, not from the top, but a second rope. He was working hard. And I know he was really excited to work with me because he was thinking that, you know, back in the day, everyone would try and, you know, double cross him and swerve him from behind, you know. But I think he enjoyed working with me, and obviously our whole generation of guys, Edge, he loved working with. And I remember the first time he worked with Kurt Angle, he came back through the curtain. He's like, hey, Vince, what's with the Olympic guy? He's a little bit stiff-ski. I always love that old school putting a ski at the end of it. Heather Lancey, who's your favorite opponent? That's hard to say. I mean, I probably could go into chunks of this. You know, I always loved working against Lance. I love working against Luther. Brett Como in those early days, Don Callis. I love working with Ultimo Dragon. Gato, we always had a lot of fun. Juventud Guerrera, I liked working with him. Rey Mysterio, Dean Malenko, Eddie Guerrero, obviously Chris Benoit. You know, kind of go through Shawn Michaels. Definitely, that might be my favorite. I liked working with Moxley. I thought we had a really good series of matches when we were in the WWE, but of course it's way better now. Even though we only had one match, it was still a great match. One of my favorites. Kevin Owens as a partner, Big Show as a partner, Sammy Guevara as a partner, Inner Circle as a partner. The Rock, had great chemistry with The Rock. Always enjoyed working with him. So I've been very fortunate to work with a lot of talented people, and what a great career I've had. Caitlin Pipestem, would you ever do another Stadium Stampede match? I absolutely would, and I think we've already discussed that with Tony Khan, so I think you'll see another one at some point. JBH, was the Mimosa Mayhem a deliberate pun, a mixing of Freshly Squeezed and a bit of the Bubbly? What was inspiration for it? Well, yeah, it was a deliberate pun because obviously a mimosa, I'm grabbing something here for you guys to see, which is actually pretty funny. Yeah, I mean, Tony and I had laughed about the mimosa, and if only we could do some kind of a mimosa match, you know, based around the fact that, you know, the whole angle started with basically him pouring orange juice on me and then me, you know, waterboarding him with bubbly. And where the inspiration came from, we were trying to think, like, Tony, I was like, ah, too bad we couldn't have something to do with Mimosa. And I was trying to think, originally I was supposed to work with Tyson at that September pay-per-view. I'm so bad with the names all out too. And we just couldn't get it done in time. So the second match I had with Orange was originally going to be the Mimosa Mayhem. And then we moved it into the rubber match position. Mimosa Mayhem was the third match in the series. So I was thinking, like, what can I do? Like, we're thinking, what kind of blow-off match? I think Tony suggested a last man standing or something along those lines. I was like, that doesn't fit. I mean, this whole thing has been based around Orange and Jericho, and it's been so different. I need something different. I thought Mimosa, like, okay, I don't know, maybe you can get thrown into some Mimosa. Like, I was starting to think, like, a casket match, you know, you got to get thrown into the casket, and they got to close the lid. And if you're standing in it, it still doesn't quite count. Or the Royal Rumble, where your legs would be kind of, you know, scraping against the ground, but you'd be holding on, like, the drama of that. And then also the Onita FMW barbed wire matches, where a guy would be on the apron side and below there'd be like an exploding barbed wire board. If you fell on it, it would explode. And so you'd be like, whoa, and pull yourself back. So then I actually thought about it, and I made this drawing in about 10 minutes. And the hardest part was getting the AEW logo right? So you can see it's kind of Daly's place. And I thought, what if you put these two tanks of orange juice and bubbly on the side, and if you get thrown into them, you lose. And, you know, but you can also have pinfall and submission, so it wouldn't be all about just throwing guys into the Mimosa. And that's kind of where it started. Then we have a great crew in AEW. Chris Dispenza is one of the guys there that helped make this and put the platforms with the bubbly and the Mimosa on either side, where you can still wrestle on the platform. And I really enjoyed that match. I thought it was a lot of fun. And the box after, like, man, we want to do one of those. Like I said, like, I knew it was one of those things where you can try and visualize it, but until you actually see it, you can't really see how cool it's going to be. And then once you see it, then everyone wants to do one. So, Johnny Poon, how did your head feel from that pile driver from Night to Jigger? Terrible. Literally, I had a dying hole in my hair. It ripped out like this little thing of hair, and I came through and like, holy shit, that ripped my hair right out. I remember thinking, like, it's probably going to be stiff, but, you know, whatever. And I think I even tried to cover it with my hand, and instead it just drove my fucking head right in there. Like, working with Naito was always an experience. I love working with Naito, but oh my gosh. He was always trying to either kill himself or kill me. Would the AEW come to Australia? Absolutely. We were actually working on it. We were working on it for the pandemic, and Canada as well, and a bunch of other places. But hopefully we will get a chance to go very soon. Congratulations on 30 amazing years. Glad I got to see a wrestler in Halifax. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Do you think AEW ever do a show in Orlando? Absolutely. I mean, we're very close to it. We did a show in Miami. We had a lot of momentum going on before the pandemic, if you guys remember. And unfortunately, we just, you know, we're all in the same boat here where we had to take a step back. Best memory of wrestling in Orlando? I think we do a Royal Rumble in Orlando, maybe. It's always a great room, though. Work in Orlando. I can't think of anything specific. I remember that was for Seth Green. Seth Green? Yeah, Seth Green was the host one year that we did Orlando. But, I mean, we had all those great Saturday morning shows in Orlando and WCW worldwide, which I say to this day, if you liked worldwide, you were watching wrestlers that were either still drunk or super hungover. We used to hang out all night back in those days. What was your favorite match while you wrestled in Germany? Probably against Drew McDonald when I worked in Hamburg. He was a Scottish guy, passed away recently, and he was just a great performer and a great guy. And he's actually the guy that I did my first standing on the top rope Frankensteiner with. It was his idea. He's like, you can do it. That was terrible. Drew McDonald imitation, but he was pretty cool. My dog just banged against the door and it scared the shit out of me. So... Fantasy match. Anyone, any generation. Wow. I mean, I got to go with the Hart brothers, either Owen Hart and Bret Hart. Never got a chance to wrestle either one of them. I was in WCW with Bret, but they never put us together. And I wasn't at his level anyways. It wouldn't have been like it could have been, you know, 5 years later. And if you would have asked me my top 10 reasons why I was going to WWE from WCW, one of the lower ones, you know, 9 or 10 would have been like to get the opportunity to wrestle Owen Hart. Actually wearing an Owen Hart shirt right now. Get this at ProWrestlingTees.com. It's very cool. Yeah, I always wanted to wrestle with Owen Hart, and unfortunately he passed away about 2 months before I showed up in WWE. So those are probably the biggest ones that I would like to wrestle against at some point. Well, I can't do it now, obviously. Okay, let me see. Hey, Jim. Jim Hotswell. Hey, Chris, Jim in Detroit Rock City. Oh, yeah, Detroit Rock City. Back when we used to have sing-alongs, I sang that one for you guys. But favorite gimmick match you were in? Well, Mimosa Mayhem is up there. I've been fortunate. I've been in a lot of firsts. I was in the first Elimination Chamber. I was in the first Money in the Bank, which I also helped create. I was in the first Ambrose Asylum, which I also helped create. I was in the first Mimosa Mayhem, which I also helped create. So you can see first Stadium Stampede, which I also helped create. So that's actually a pretty good track record. Four matches that I helped create: Money in the Bank, Stadium Stampede, Ambrose Asylum, and Mimosa Mayhem. I'm going to give myself a pat in the back for that. I think also I really enjoyed back in 93, I had a barbed wire match with Beef Wellington. Yes, Beef Wellington, not Biff. He was actually an early tag team partner of Benoit, and they wrestled very similarly. And actually, in a strange twist of fate, they both died on the same weekend. They might have even died on the same day, depending on Chris actually passed away. So we had a barbed wire match in 1993. It was the first of its kind in Canada, and it was amazing. Like we clipped the barbed wire on three sides. Of course, forgot which side still had the barbed wire, so I took that one. But it caused a huge furor. Like, oh my gosh, it's a barbed wire match. And I remember, I think we drew, I don't know, 350 people, which for us, like, the house was like almost triple what we usually had. And it was like, we did. I think I got paid. I don't know, what did I get paid there? I could probably look it up for you guys and find out what I got paid for my first ever barbed wire match. If you guys want to take a second and I don't know where it was, though. It was pretty, it'd be probably be hard to find because I was wrestling in Mexico as well at the time. So I don't remember if it was in the summer or when, but anyways, it was a pretty hard hitting match. And it was a fun one to do a barbed wire match in Calgary in 92 or 93 was a big deal. Let's see. Somebody just said they were supposed to be watching Fozzy in Dallas tonight, which is a drag. Yeah. Our tour kept getting pushed back. And now it's scheduled for April and May of next year. And the reason why people, they're like, why don't you just cancel? Is because people just want to continue to come see our shows and nobody's asking for refunds or anything. So we're going to come and see you guys as soon as we can. And hopefully it'll be very, very soon. So let me see what we got here. I'm a new subscriber to YouTube. What happened in 2003 backstage with Goldberg? I heard you guys were in a fight. Yeah, we did get in a fight backstage, and we actually worked it out. And just, Bill and I had a lot of animosity over the years just because of, you know, they kind of pit us against each other in WCW, and, you know, it is what it is, and no problems, no issues now. Actually, I think Bill and I actually have a very good rapport. He's actually a really cool guy. We got along great in WCW before we got pitted against each other. We went to hockey games together and stuff, so nothing but love for Bill. Charlotte, hello from London, and congratulations on the 30 years. Thank you. You always have the best entrances to the ring. Break the walls down. I love the crowd. Seeing love with Judas. Which wrestler, past, present, do you think has the best entrance? I got to say Undertaker. I mean, it's got to be the Undertaker. I'll answer the next question. Yeah, until you actually wrestle with him, you don't realize how powerful that that entrance is. And when you hear that bell, the Taco Bell, bong, bong, it's just like, holy shit, this is real. And when he comes to the ring, he never turns his head. Like he never turns his neck. He comes down, he turns this way, he walks, he turns back this way, he walks. He really plays that part so well. Obviously one of the greatest gimmicks of all time and one of the greatest guys too. Did you ever get to wrestle against Rick Rude? No, I had very few interactions with Rick. He was in WCW for a time when I was there, but I never worked with him. I would have loved to, but never got the chance. All right, let's see what else we got here. Love you, man, from Algeria. That's really cool. Congratulations. What's your favorite Rumble match in your career? And what's your opinion on WCW 97? WCW 97 was pretty cool, but rather than talk about that, my favorite Rumble match was the one, I think it was 2013, where I came out as a total surprise. Dolph Ziggler was the first guy in the ring, and I was the second one. And the crowd reaction was so insane because nobody knew I was there, literally. I flew in at about 5 in the afternoon. One of those things where like, I came in like in a taxi or limo, like lying down in the back seat so nobody could see me. And then hit out in the bus underneath the venue, and no one knew I was even in it until, you know, the Royal Rumble started, and that's when they brought me in. So my own people didn't even know I was there, like my friends and no one in the WWE. And when I went to the ring, it was one of the most legitimate shock explosions that I've ever been a part of. And the night before, I was actually at the NAMM show in LA, a music, National Association of Music Merchants. I got so fucking loaded with M Shadows that I missed my first flight. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I'm going to be in so much trouble. And then I went and worked, I think it was like 47 minutes. Do you guys know that I have the most consecutive time in Royal Rumble matches? Like cumulative. Like if you combine all my times in the Royal Rumble, I have the most in WWE history. They'll never say that. And I don't know if anybody can even catch it. So I think I'm an hour past Triple H and there's nobody even close to that. So I might hold that record for a long, long time. So. You're welcome. What are your thoughts? Big brother, what are your thoughts on your WrestleMania 19 match with Shawn Michaels? Amazing. Definitely the best match of the show, which is what everybody always aspires to do. And we actually did that. I know Kurt and Brock had a great match too, but ours was better because we didn't have a fucked up finish. And also it was the first time we'd ever been in the ring together. And the angle was great. Everything was put together so well. And I just remember I was looking for, I think, like a pair of like black Speedos to use as undertights. That's what I used to use as undertights. There's a secret for it. And like Dick's Sporting Goods. And I just was walking through and boom, this finish just hit me. And I went and borrowed a pen and some paper from the checkout girl and just wrote down this finish. And it wasn't the whole thing, but it was probably 65-70% of the finish. And that's it. And so I went to the venue to kind of go over it with Sean, and we see each other and we both pull out a piece of paper and he goes, listen, I don't have anything for the finish, but I came up with what I think is a great beginning. I said, that's hilarious because I don't have anything for the beginning, but I think I came up with a pretty good finish. And we just went through all of our ideas and we were done like in 15 minutes and then went out there and just destroyed it at WrestleMania. So that goes to show when you're putting together matches, it shouldn't take hours. It should take minutes if you got something great, you know, going on. Will you ever face off of Minoru Suzuki? Says Shin. Absolutely. That's one of my kind of goal opponents. You know, I wanted to work with Naito, Okada, and Kenny, and Tanahashi. Those are kind of the big four. And now that I've done that, I'd love to work with Suzuki, Ospreay, and Ibushi, and Ishii as well. But Suzuki's right up there for me. We're similar age and similar, like, you know, legendary, you know, older guys that are still killing it, whatever you want to call us. So was there anyone you were in WCW you wanted to face, but I got the chance? Well, obviously, Bret Hart was one. Thank you, Russ, for saying. Russ Schoberg. I love that name. Lars Eric Schoberg was a great defenseman in Winnipeg in the 70s. And I always thought his name was Lars Eric Sojberg because I couldn't figure out how to pronounce Schoberg, S-J-O, Sojberg. So Rush J. Sojberg, Lars Eric Schuberg. Wow, that's a good memory. Was there anyone while you're WCW you wanted to face when I get the chance? Well, then obviously I mentioned Brett before. Macho Man would be another huge one. Sting, never even came into contact with any of those guys. But I think Macho Man would be the biggest one. I was a huge Macho Man fan. And it's, you know, like I said, it's still kind of a drag to me that I never got a chance to go to the ring. I actually did a thing with Bubba the Love Sponge. It was an early morning kind of party, and Randy was there, and he's like, "Yeah, I was kind of wanted to work with you. You know, maybe someday, good luck in WWE." And I was like, "Fuck, man, you have some pull. I wish you would have." Or maybe he didn't say, "I always wanted to work with you." He said, "You know, I would like to work with you, or I thought it'd be good if we had a match," something along those lines. But it's always cool to hear that sort of thing. You know? Anything big going to happen on the October 14th show? Absolutely. It's the anniversary show, man. We got a lot of big stuff coming up. But the thing with AEW is we always have the next, like, I've got stuff planned for the next 6 months. You know, it's not all filled in, but, you know, we don't come up with shit the day before. It's all planned out. And even with the COVID, where some people have to miss shows because, you know, the positive or whatever it may be, we've always got ideas. And that's when you're prepared, it makes it a lot easier. I love John. I love working with John. I love John as a person. John's first pay-per-view match was against me, Chris Jericho, as if you didn't know that. And I remember I called Vince the night before the show and basically told him that me winning was the wrong finish. It should be John. Vince didn't see anything in him. I'm telling you. I said, this guy's got something. And Vince was like, fine, put him over if you want. And that was kind of the beginning of John. So, yeah, I mean, I am a big fan of his. And this belt, so you guys can see it better. And I'm very excited for all his success in and out of the ring. All right, what else we got? We know about Roman Reigns' heel turn. I think it's great. I've been pulling for it for years. He's an awesome heel. He's an awesome worker. He's an awesome guy. So congratulations. Jacob Murray, what's your favorite building to wrestle in Canada? Obviously, I think you got to say Winnipeg Arena, just because I'm from Winnipeg. And I worked in the old barn, as we called it, in Winnipeg, and worked also in the MTS Center, which is what they have now. So always loved working in Winnipeg. I had some great matches. I worked a great match with Steve Austin at the time. Was the highest grossing match in Winnipeg history. And actually, when I worked with Cena in the Garden, we had a cage match that was also the highest grossing show in WWE history. So I made some good money with Cena and Steve in those different venues. So I also, Toronto's always great too. I'm really excited for AEW to come to Canada because our ratings are great in Canada as well. Dynamite does better ratings than Raw and SmackDown do there. So that's true. So, you know, hopefully you guys we'll get a chance to see us then very, very soon. Who's the greatest technical wrestler? I mean, that's hard. There's a lot of great ones. But I think a couple guys who want to talk about just who knew all the holds and moves, it's always those English guys. They always know more than everybody. And Robbie Brookside and Doc Dean were a couple guys that I worked with quite frequently in Germany when I was in Hamburg in October of 93 for 6 weeks. And then they came to WCW for a short time. I worked with them a lot in not a lot. We did the Super Junior tour together in 97. So awesome guys and just great workers. These just the snapmare, like snapmare, bridge up. Okay, I snapmare you, then the guy bridges up, snapmares me. Then bridge up, do like it was just they would do all these really cool little things that were really amazing. So let's see. Do you still have those pink tights you wore in 2004? I'm not sure I ever wore pink tights. I had purple tights, like a kind of, what do you call them, maroon. But I don't think I wore pink tights. Brian Corvo. Hey, Jericho, huge fan. What's the bloodiest match you ever had? Definitely, that's easy. Land of the Legends, Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Me and Lance versus the Heavenly Bodies, Dr. Tom Pritchard and Jimmy Del Rey. That was the famous night where I broke my arm. You can see the scar there. I'm trying a shooting star press before the match, about 4 hours before, practicing with no crash pad and no spotter. Stupid move on my part. And when I landed like this and like this on my chest. And I remember looking at my arm. There's a divot right there, like here, like went like, nope. And I remember looking at Lance, like, does this look weird? He's like, oh my gosh. And I remember when I was moving, it was almost like a rubber pencil. Like, I went to the hospital. I'm like, it can't be broken because it doesn't hurt. And of course it was broken. They wanted me to get surgery right then. I said I couldn't because I had to go to a wrestling show and be in the front row and wave. You know, I wasn't going to not do the match. And it's a famous story. I did the fucking match with a broken arm. And I'd taken a lot of aspirin and painkillers and all that sort of stuff. And when I cut myself, it wasn't even a big gash. It was just a little one. But, man, it was just fucking crazy. It was like Carrie. It was so bad. And I remember there was a guy in the front row who grabbed some of the blood and tasted it. He's like, yeah, that's not real. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me, man? You're gonna actually taste the blood? I mean, that's pretty damn gross when you think about it, you know? Yeah, so it was very bloody, very crazy. And I actually have a picture that I'm going to try and find for you guys here, if I can do this, because I'm so good at doing this from Winnipeggers. I think, let's see, right here. Is it going to show up? Hope it does. There you go. I think it's showing up. Look, there's the blood right there. You can actually see that. That's my total about a crimson mask. And it's like where I'm wearing a red T-shirt, if you guys can see that. It's just so brutally bloody. So that was my bloodiest match that I ever had. And it's so funny because I didn't know any girls really in Knoxville besides strippers. And I was doing a signing afterwards because that's what we have to do. And I had my cast on and I was just, you know, gash on my head. And these two girls came up to me. They looked like Daisy Duke from Dukes of Hazzard, and they're super hot. And they're like, you want to go to Cotton Eye Joe's with us after? That's like the big club. And I was like, I can't. I got to get surgery at 7 a.m. I should have just went and fucking partied all night and rocked it, but I did not. I was being I was being responsible. What's your favorite bit of merch from the 30 years? That's hard to say because one good thing I've always been good at is you know, coming up with different catchphrases and names. I'll tell you what means the most to me was the original Monday Night Jericho shirt. And the reason why is because Bischoff didn't want to give me a shirt. He's like, oh, you don't need a shirt, you know, and you know, you don't make any money off it anyways. And I was like, no, but perception is reality. And if there's a Hulk Hogan shirt, there needs to be a Jericho shirt too. So people think that I'm a big deal. And I remember he was like, yeah, okay, sure. If you want to do a shirt, we can do a shirt, whatever. And, you know, it was not supposed to happen, but we made it happen. I made it happen. I did a commercial for it that was actually really fun. And it was kind of a small victory for me because it was like, you know what, damn it, I deserve a shirt. And like I said, to Eric's credit, he's like, fine, you can have one. Let's get one made. And I basically designed it myself and did it all myself. That's it right there, Monday Night Jericho. And this broken thing is supposed to be the TNT logo or Nitro or whatever, smashed. It doesn't really look like that. It just looks like kind of a jumbled, bumbled thing. But that was my first shirt right there, man, and that meant a lot to me. And the worst shirt I ever had was when I was claiming that I invented everything and that everybody else was a wannabe. And that one was kind of like really lame. It turned out really shitty. And I was not happy with it. I think it probably sold like 7 of them. So I've had some huge ones, but I've also had a couple of real stinkers as well. And the wannabe was not a good one. Which I will show you right here. So, yeah, you got to throw stuff against the wall. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but there's the wannabe shirt. Not great. Yeah, sort of rock your inbox. I don't even know what the hell that means, but I'll get rid of that. Boom. And there you go. Jericho wannabe. Man, look at that. That's terrible. Would you wear that? I wouldn't wear that. It was pretty ugly. All right, so. Let's see. Heather Lancey, can't wait for the cruise. Thank you. October, we got another cruise announcement coming up this week. Our guest of honor is going to be announced, which is huge. Yeah. All right, Russell Stover, were you surprised at what the list got over? Absolutely. You never know for sure what's going to get over. You never know for sure what people are going to respond to. And the list was a huge one for me. I feel almost like I've had like a late career resurgence if I was a band. Like, I've had more hits in the last 3 or 4 years than I had kind of in the mid-2000s, and they've all been really great stuff, from Demo Gods, Le Champion, to million viewer man, you know, that sort of stuff. Painmaker. Then, of course, you know, the last few years of WWE with Drink It In, Man, and The Gift of Jericho, and, you know, and the list, of course, and It. Yeah, I mean, that was Jimmy Jacobs' idea. I think he said that Steve Corino actually kept a list in his head, and he was kind of thinking about it that way, and we went with it, and it just worked. And the reason why it worked was because I said, when I go to put you in the list, you got to sell it like it's the worst thing ever. I remember the first guys, one of the first guys I put on it was the New Day. And I said, like, if you guys, I remember specifically speaking to Woods, like, you have to act like this is the worst thing that could ever happen to you is to be put on a list. And they did. And when they did that, it was like, all right, this is going to work. This could be pretty cool. So there you go. So don't forget to, was the Judas Effect and theme your idea. And don't forget, we still got a couple spots left, Wrestling with Joey Licious. Shoot me your Twitter address and I will, hook you up with Joey. Yes, the Judas Effect and the theme was my idea. I wanted a finishing move that no one had ever kicked out of before. It felt the code breaker and the walls had been kicked out of so many times. I still win with it. I beat Joey Janela with the walls a few weeks ago, and I beat Luchasaurus with the code breaker a few weeks before that. But I wanted something new that I could do to anybody, and I was kickboxing, and I turned around and did that. I was like, that could really work. And so now we've built it up. We can hit it out anywhere. It's a pretty cool like I said, it's just something that I really wanted to create something new. I was a new guy. It was a new company. It was just something that I was very excited to do, and I thought it really worked out great. So somebody was just talking about their coming to the show on – oh, here it is. Jenny Rose. Really wish you'd give more info on Wednesday show. I have tickets to the Dog Color Match. The card is 8. And trust me, it's going to be an amazing show. It's a Jericho 30 show. I'm going to be there. What more do you want? And I think you guys are really going to be surprised and pleasantly surprised if you don't know Luther. We've done some great packages to build up that match and just show how much of a big deal it is for both of us to be in the ring together. It really does mean a lot. And this match was not my idea, by the way. It was Tony Khan's idea. So I did not handpick Luther and Serpentico versus Ian Hager. That was Tony's idea. And it's perfect. My first match against Luther was April 12th. 1991, and here we are, you know, October 7th, 2020, facing each other on national TV for the very first time, and that's pretty fucking cool. So, trust me, Jenny, there's never been an AEW match, an AEW show that left you going, man, it's going to be a great fucking show. There's a lot of great stuff planned, and I think you're going to love it. And I'm excited to see you there. It's going to be great, so we'll look forward to the crowd, Jenny. Jenny, you got my number. I want to make you mine. I don't know how that goes. Hopefully I don't get shut down for that. Oh, by the way, Clifford! there you go. Clifford! Have you guys checked out that movie yet? That Martin Short movie, Clifford? Oh, man, me and Lenny laugh about that. Ideally, what would have happened, what would you have your first 2 months at WWE? Yeah, I continued a feud with The Rock right off the bat. But I wasn't quite ready, but I was way more ready than what they gave me. I mean, feuding with China at the beginning was hard. And, you know, I was working Sunday Night Heat against Stevie Richards and, you know, all that stuff. So whatever. When you get to WWE, it's a trial by fire. And you either survive or you don't. And I survive. I will survive. Hey, hey. Hunter McMillan, favorite nickname you ever came up with? Well, I mean, gosh, Y2J was huge at the time. And once again, I hate people chanting Y2J in the stadium. That was 20 years ago. But 20 years ago, it was a huge, huge idea, great idea. And my idea, once again, was to call my finish the Y2J. And Vince was like, no, that's your name. So that was Vince's idea to make me nicknamed Y2J. I loved Lionheart, Corazón de León, because I wanted to be an animal, like, you know, like Eddie and those guys. Eddie was Black Tiger and Chris is Pegasus, etc. And I wanted to be a lion, an animal, so Lionheart is what I came up with. And that's also, you know, I love the whole suit and tie, big, you know, Hypocrite Jericho. It wasn't really a nickname, but that Fils de Champion is a great one too. That might be the best one because YTJ or Le Champion are probably the two best, but Le Champion's got a little bit more bite to it. So Demo God is pretty funny too, especially when it pissed people off. Any comment on WWE taking over wrestlers' social media accounts? Oh my gosh, that's it's a tough one. But once again, these people, you know, they get paid a lot of money. So I don't know. It's hard to say. And listen, not my problem. Wow, here's a Debbie Downer. Chris Jericho's really aged. He was so handsome in 1999. Hold up. I think I look pretty hot for almost 50 years old. How old are you? Send us a picture when you're 50 and see if you look like this. you gotta love people. Only in America or worldwide, only online can you sit down and give people a free show and have them insult you, right? There you go. Any chance of getting Will Ospreay at AEW would be great. I would love to have Will, and I tried, but Will is very happy in Japan right now and has no interest in coming here. So, there you go. Hey, Clifford! Where did the Come On Baby pin come from? That came from Fuyuki, Samson Fuyuki. I think his name is Hiromichi Fuyuki. He was my boss, figuratively, in WAR. Tender was my boss, but he was the leader of the faction, Team No Respect, Fuyuki-gun, that I was a part of. It was John Ogedo Fuyuki and Jericho, a.k.a. Liondo. And I learned a lot from Fuyuki. He didn't speak a word of English, but he would always go like, and do the pin. And that's where the Come On Baby pin. It's almost it's a tribute to Fuyuki, who I learned a shitload from, even though he could not speak any English whatsoever. So there you go. Was Orange Cassidy the writer for AEW? No, never heard of him. I had no idea who he was. Y'all are money. I agree. And at first, like I said, I've said it many, many times, I did not like Orange Cassidy when I first saw him. I thought the gimmick was stupid. And I don't think that anymore. So nasty shit fan. Who's ripped the worst smelling fart over the course of your career? I don't know, man. Maybe me, probably. You always notice your own more than anybody else's, right? Did you ever consider going to another company during or in between WWE runs, James Rennie? No, that's the thing. Like, I never considered going anywhere, and that's why it was so weird for me to go to New Japan for the Tokyo Dome match with Kenny. And I even called Vince. I was super nervous. Like, I'm going to be doing this, you know, match in Japan, and Vince was all for it. You know, Vince was all for it at the time, and then not so much afterwards. Where did the Painmaker idea come from, Chris Marshall? When I worked Kenny at the Tokyo Dome, I had adapted more of a crazier style. I've been watching a lot of Bruiser Brody stuff, and I wanted to go back to Japan because I was never the biggest guy, but in Japan I was, and I could be taller. I would not be taller. I was bigger than most of the guys there, and I could be a little bit more crazy. So that's what I wanted to do. And when I worked the match with Kenny, everything is cool, but the look just doesn't fit. I don't like the tights, and I don't the short tights, the sparkles, and the light up jacket. It just didn't work for me anymore. And when that happens to me, I have to make a switch. So I decided to wear long. They weren't even tights; they're leather pants. If you see me wear my leather pants on Dynamite, the first version of those were the ones I wore in the ring. They're starting to split, and I was having to sew the crotch up. I don't want these things to rip on me. And somebody had done a picture of me as the Joker, like a fan art. And I was like, that's really cool. What if I do some kind of makeup? And I was like, what if I did kind of a like an Alice Cooper type thing? And then I remember, like, this kind of looks a little bit vampire-esque, so I'll put a thing here. I'll put some black lipstick on. Like, what would a serial killer look like in wrestling? That's what I wanted to embody, like a serial killer, a violent murderer in wrestling, and what he would look like and what he would do. And so that's kind of what I based the Painmaker on. And I remember it's the same thing as when I first switched from long tights to shorts. That first walk out of the dressing room, and you're all nervous, like, what's people going to do? And no one cared because it's Japan. It just looked kind of cool and weird. And I remember the Joker picture, the guy was wearing a fedora, and Gato even said, you want to wear a fedora like that? I'm like, do you have one? He said, yes. So that first original fedora that I wore at the Tokyo Dome, not as Tokyo, it was in Osaka, I think, it's Naito, was Gato's. So it's pretty cool. Asher Bombs, I love your shirt. Happy 30th in your career, by the way. Clifford! Oh, that's so funny. Kieran, hey, Chris, congrats on 30 years. Can I get a shout out for my birthday? Happy birthday to you. Absolutely. Favorite ladder match you've been in is Stephanie Karasavich. Logo Packers. The one I had with Sean and the one I had with Benoit at the Royal Rumble in 2001, 2002, it was just amazing. I think if you go back and watch those, you'll see that when I say, in my opinion, that both of those matches are better than Sean's match with Razor. And I just think that ours were even better. So you can call me egotistical, but if you go watch Jericho versus Benoit ladder match, and Jericho versus Sean ladder match, I think that you can see why I feel they're better than Sean Razor's. First match ever, like I said, October 2nd, 1990 versus Lance Storm, Pinocchio, Alberta at the Pinocchio Moose Hall. It was a 10-minute draw. Having elevated Orange, I think he's run with the ball with the spot in the street fight and the TNT. Do you think he's – yeah, absolutely. You know, we are continuing to build Orange Cassidy, and he's going to become a big name for us the more we put him in that spot. So I am very excited for him and all the stuff that we did together. Angle told me Vince they would find anyone who broke character to the infamous Invasion promo with Austin. Is that true? I don't recall the Invasion promo with Austin, but I mean, I don't know if he would. He might. I mean, he's not, that was very serious times, you know, so maybe, I don't know. He never told me. Besides, I wouldn't break character anyways. I'm too much of a pro. Million viewer man, you rock, says Louisa Booth. Thank you, Louisa. You rock too. All right, we got another one here for the book. Michelle Perlman. There you go. I'm going to take the official picture. Boom. That means we have one more Wrestling with Joey Licious book available as we start to wind down here. If you want it, shoot me your Twitter and we will connect you with Joey and you will get a free copy. It helps getting stuff over. We have a boss that listens. Well, it does, but also, like I said, we have a plan. So Georgie's at the Crazy Bar. My goodness, I just told that story on the audiobook for once again, the audio bonus if you pre-order the complete list of Jericho. I told a great story about Georgie's in the Crazy Bar today on my audio bonus book, audio bonus podcast, audio bonus, I don't know, present, whatever it is. If you pre-order the complete list of Jericho, you're going to get an exclusive recollection of some of the matches involved, and we had some great Crazy Bar stories. What was your thought on the championship scramble concept when she won the World Heavyweight Championship Unforgiven 2008? I think it was kind of hard to understand, but who cares? I won the title. And they haven't had it since, so they must have felt the same way. What happened after SummerSlam 2008 when you punched Shawn Michaels' wife? Everyone felt really bad, including me and Sean. And Rebecca was great. After she was like, that's all you got, Jericho? And I was like, oh, thank goodness, she's fine. And that's one of those things where it was a terrible mistake, but it ended up making both of us and the company a lot of money because that took things into a completely different place to where it went from. I remember always thinking like, oh, this is just wrestling. But if someone ever hit my girlfriend or my wife or my daughter or my Auntie Griselda like that, I'd kick his fucking ass. And so that's kind of where it went there. So, man, there's so much stuff here as usual. You should wrestle Clifford! Chris Nelson, congrats on 30 years. Mr. Uproar in SLC. I'd like to meet you again. Hopefully someday, man, we would like to go. And there it is, Alex Ollie. Another picture right there for Joey Quesada's book. Boom. So I'm going to take a picture of this and send it to him because he's bugging me right there. This week's sponsor. Perfect. All right, guys. I'll take a couple more questions. Then we got to wrap it up. This time went by very quickly, as it always does. Wow. There's so much stuff. Favorite person to go on the road from show to show? Had anyone you consider to be a road wife? I always love touring with Hurricane. great guy. I loved touring with Benoit. It was Benoit, Eddie, me, and Dean. And I remember when it all ended off, where Dean and I would like to sleep in during the day, and Eddie and Chris would always get up like at 7 a.m. So we'd have a day off or a house show. We'd have to be at the venue till 6. And Chris and Eddie would get up at like 7, 8 a.m. and go to the gym and eat breakfast and then do nothing for the rest of the day. And me or Dean were like, let's just sleep until noon, then go eat, then go to the gym. Then, you know, then you're pretty much time to go to the venue. So that was kind of a, like, we should probably start traveling on our own. And another time was we went to a convenience store and to get some snacks. And Eddie and Chris were reading the back of the, like, oh, okay, there's, you know, the thing on the back that's, okay, there's 8 carbs and 1 gram of sat fat. And I remember, like, me and Dean were, like, looking, kind of did the same thing. And I looked at each other, like, what are we doing? We're buying fucking Pop-Tarts. There's no reason to look at the nutritional value of a fucking Pop-Tart. So what do you think the future of the business? Darby Allin, Jungle Boy, MJF. I mean, there's so, we have such a great, I think Eddie Kingston is going to be a huge baby face. Pentagon and Phoenix, Kenny, Hangman. I'm so excited. Lots of great guys coming up to the system, and I plan to be here with all of them. So once again, we can't do the sing along this week. We're hoping that we still can at some point, but since we can't do the sing-along, we'll just play the song again and we'll take this motherfucker out. I think it was a fun show. Always a good time to be here with you guys.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3.
midnight special. And I'd like to tell you what you could do with it too.